7:43, time for a message in the bottle, brought to you every week at this time by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Eric Meehan back in our studios for the second time today, feeling good.
Yeah, I'm having too much fun, and these are elevated chairs.
I know, and you can roll around.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to pay any attention to this entire segment.
Best of all for you, you can wear your sweater comfortably here now.
This is true. I have three layers on too. I didn't even think about it.
You're not even a bead of perspiration.
Well, a couple, but that's only because I'm nervous every time I'm around a radio personality such as yourself.
Wow.
I was here earlier with my lovely wife Christine and our beplagued children, soon to be unplagued. They're on the medicines. To record some ads for your show and for KIT as well.
Cool.
And We love coming here, and Eric just has a great day. He just wandered right into Bobby's studio this morning. Just kind of, had no idea. Like,
yeah. He'll fit right in on that show.
He might have been the most mature person, because it was when the Pulse Boys were over there. It was ugly.
No question.
So we're in the midst of talking about how best to explore wine this month, if everybody recalls. And last week we did sort of this old switcheroo. We were going to talk about our recent guests, Holly and Elmer Savage, of Savage Oaks Winery, but instead we talked about some books. So today we shall talk about not just Savage Oaks Winery, but also, you know, ways that you can go out and experience wine for yourself. We're all, I think, in the mood to start thinking about the warmer months and summer coming up, and that's a really, really excellent time. A lot of Maine wineries have, you know, really nice tasting rooms and places that you can wander amongst the vines. Have you ever been in a vineyard? I was actually thinking about that on the way over.
I have, yes. Yeah.
I would be curious, like, what percentage of folks have ever actually been in an active vineyard? And that's sort of the point, is now there's at least three or four within easy driving distance, even, you know, to pile the kids in, let them run around. Savage Oaks is just one, Savage Oaks being in Union. Why are we able to grow grapes up here? I mean, what's sort of the deal with that? Well, the deal is that obviously we've talked about the vinifera species of grape, which is the kind that you find in Europe that we all kind of like to drink, the Cabernet Sauvignons, the Merlots, the Chardonnays. These are all Vitis vinifera. But Vitis vinifera really needs a nice lengthy ripening season, and Maine doesn't tend to have that. So there's other places like Maine that are in a similar situation, and it goes without saying that, you know, people like to drink. And so in a couple of those places, there are actually research institutions dedicated to figuring out how best to get people drunk locally. Let's put it that way. And so places like Cornell, which is obviously situated in the Finger Lake region of New York, University of Minnesota, has done a lot of research and actually created some of the grapes we're going to be talking about today. And also in Alsace, which is, depending on the season and who's in command, either Germany or France, currently France, but check back later. There's a lot of research going on that where they're taking Vitis vinifera and crossing it with other species of grapes. In the case of North America, we had Vitis lambrusco and others that are a little quicker ripening, a little hardier. And so we end up with a number of grapes. And
Vitis lambrusco, wasn't he the great flyweight?
That's right. Yeah, he lost to Joe Louis.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes, they won. Now I'm going to go Rocky Marciano the entire time. So what was actually kind of interesting in my prep for the show, I found out that a lot of these North American hybrids actually were created about in the end of the 1800s when, as we recall, the phylloxera epidemic was raging. And they were actually originally produced to see if they could stand up to the phylloxera louse that was decimating so many vineyards, both in Europe, which is where the Alsace research came from, and then also, you know, over here. And they found out that it was actually a little easier to combat that by, as you may recall from last season's talks, of grafting onto North American rootstock, and that's what eventually defeated the phylloxera louse from eating all the vines. But what they discovered is that it was actually remarkably good for these short ripening season places. So in places like we were talking about Minnesota, so specifically at Minnesota, there was a grape developed called the Frontenac grape, and it's a cross between a French varietal and a hybrid North American varietal. And that's indeed what we're going to be trying today. Although today we're going to be trying a mutant.
A mutant.
A mutant hybrid. Doesn't that sound like, you know, Monsanto sort of level stuff, you know? but ironically, like this is not that. This is sort of 100% natural in that grapes are really, really easy to genetically manipulate in safe ways, as opposed to perhaps the rather questionable ways that are being done on sort of a mass industrial scale. So don't be scared off by the hybrid thing. And the mutant, what I mean by that is that today we're drinking something made out of Frontenac Gris. Now, Frontenac is a red hybrid grape. Frontenac Gris was a mutated varietal that happened in nature. Once Frontenac got out there in nature, grapes can mutate very easily. And if you'll recall, at varying times, we've talked about Tempranillo Blanco, which is a white Tempranillo grape that popped out of nowhere that a friend of mine is researching over in Rioja, and things like that. So there's all sorts of, this is not a scary thing, although it sounds kind of dark and cool. So we'll be trying a Frontenac today. There's a couple others that are grown at Savage Oaks specifically that I wanted to mention that you might see on bottles. The Maréchal Foch, which is, of course, named for the World War I questionable hero of France who kind of tried to run Vichy, went badly, but they named a grape after him, so that's neat. And then Léon Millot, which is named after Léon Millot, the guy who invented the grape. So there you go, wow. The circle of life. But that was all done in Alsace. And then another one that you might see up here that I really, really love, especially for you folks who like sweet wines, is Vidal, V-I-D-A-L, Blanc, which is making some really, really nice ice wines up in the Niagara Peninsula. So check those out as well. Now, what we're doing today, so there's still not a tremendous amount of folks who are doing their own grapes here in Maine, but I do encourage you, as I know Cellar Door does some, Dragonfly out there in Stetson is doing some of their own grapes, Oyster River down in Warren. But Savage Oaks is the largest, and it's a couple acres, but it happens to be the largest planting of hybrid varietals that are then being made into wine in Maine. So the Savages, which is Elmer and Holly, they started, they basically, it seems like they took over essentially the family farm, but then decided that they needed to diversify a little bit and both planted blueberries, but then also planted these hybrid grapes. And have been doing it since 2005. What we're having today is the Blushing Moose, which it's also one.
They love a Blushing Moose.
It's one of the funniest cover labels I've ever seen. I mean, it's absolutely hilarious. but it's a really, really it's a wine that I think would really put Maine on the map. It's kind of hard to describe over the air. There's a little whiff of like a Sauvignon Blanc-y berry thing. There's like mango. There's almost that. You know that really weird red sauce that you get with sweet and sour chicken? There's like a little whiff of that too. It's all over the place.
It's very crisp, but it's bright.
But it's wonderful. And you can totally imagine if it were, you know.
It tastes like spring.
It tastes like spring, which is really wonderful. You can tell these folks, Elmer and Holly, are really into like, please summer get here quickly. They have another wine that's actually dubbed Come Spring. Which is also, you know, light and perfumey and wonderful. But we carry a number of their wines, and I definitely encourage you to check them out, because there's dry reds, there's dry whites, there's the only 100% made in Maine port. So really good stuff. Anyway, I know we're wrapping up.
No, we got all kinds of time.
We got all kinds of time? Yeah.
I'm reading the back of the bottle.
Read it.
This is great, too. Moose are very shy animals and tend to hide from people and cameras. When spotted, they get embarrassed and blush terribly. So the next time you see a picture of a moose, look closely. Chances are you're looking at a blushing moose. Oh.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
It's really beautiful. You know what I like is I didn't actually try to describe the wine. I think that's one of my biggest pet peeves. And I know we've talked about labeling, and, you know, we'll probably get back to that as we talk about, you know, how to go out and buy wine. And that'll come up in a couple months. But certain labels just tell you absolutely what you don't need to know. And that, I think, is everything you need to know.
Yes.
Just not about the wine.
This is great, by the way.
But yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, and it leads you to start to think, you know, what would you have with this? I mean, I think certainly types of Asian cuisine would be wonderful. A nice strawberry salad, you know, fresh with goat's cheese and stuff like that. Very, very cool stuff.
Did you bring any of that?
I didn't, but next time perhaps. All right. again, I was running around today. We're trying to figure out, you know, with this being, you know, the show being here now, it's thrown me completely off. I'm a creature of habit, and all
Tell
of a sudden I had to go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
I was, you know, three or four more traffic lights in the way.
Yeah, you got to handle the Miracle Mile out here on Broadway.
I actually, since my son goes to daycare right down the street, I actually have it all kind of, all the back ways mapped out.
Oh.
Because I'm definitely one, my wife hates it, but I'm definitely one of those folks who, like, hates stoplights and will deliberately avoid every one possible.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just it drives
well,
me
and
nuts.
Today, now yesterday I came over early and it was fine, and I looped around, sort of approached from the back. Today I tried that, but I left a little later and got right behind a school bus making drop-offs. Yeah,
that's the worst.
Oh wow,
I understand. Yeah, I get that on Husson. It's the worst. I did want to mention a couple things coming up at Bangor Wine and Cheese. We do have our monthly tasting, which will be, we're next month in February, which is tomorrow. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
And yet fantastic, because let's get through this.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that.
But we're going to be talking about purity in wines, as we did last year, although we'll try to expand things a little bit and talk about, you know, different forms of agriculture and other things that you can either expect to find in your bottle or expect not to find in your bottle, depending on what they tell you is in the bottle, which is interesting. And then on Wednesday the 22nd, we are having our third edition of the What Women Want, which will feature, again, some lovely wines, LuLaRoe leggings and such, and a plethora of other interesting female-oriented, but guys come too because, hey, free booze and, you know, I'll be there. So come keep me company.
You'll be there in the LuLaRoe leggings, right? Because I hear that's what women want.
You heard that, did you? I'd question your sources. That's an alternative truth. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Well, yeah, there you go. Downtown's alternative wine facts.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, yeah, and as we finish up, you know, talking the whole January thing about getting out there and learning. So we talked about easy ways to do it, and I just want to kind of reiterate, in general, I encourage people to pick up a book in these questionable times politically and civilization-wise. The Wine and War book is a particularly good one to read because it talks about reconciling with people you have slight differences with, and reconciling over good wine, which is even better way to do that.
Maybe wine will be our savior.
Oh, wine is always the savior. Wasn't that JC's first miracle?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a direct tie.
There you go. Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, no worries. We'll see you next week.
I look forward to it. It's Message in the Bottle, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant. And if you just came aboard, well, where you been? Eric's here 4:45 every Tuesday, but we'll have it up on the website literally in minutes so you can listen and share with your friends this week's Message in the Bottle.